America was founded on the premise that our rights come from God. The Declaration of Independence, our national birth certificate, says as much. But today, we see the rise of communism, even in our own country, among many idealists who somehow connected to the notion of sharing or of Christian charity. Charlie Rodriguez is a publisher, author, and speaker, and he joins us now to discuss a Christian perspective on communism, and especially this, you know, newfangled phenomenon we're seeing of the success of Democratic and Socialist America's candidates who basically are promoting communism. And it's crazy how they're getting ahead in different places, not just in the blue states. It's weird. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Yeah, Charlie, nice to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts on this, the success of the DSA candidates?
Well, I mentioned to you Margaret Thatcher's quote, and you, I forgot it, but you you know the quote.
Surely. Margaret Thatcher said famously, the problem with socialism is sooner or later we run out of other people's money.
Yes. That is greed. I think socialists and communists are greedy. They want to have their wealth. They want to have their mansions or whatever. But I think if you're entitled to it, but just to take from somebody else, when I was a kid, I listened to watch the movie Robin Hood. And I remember the song, Robin Hood riding through the glen, he stole from the rich and gave to the poor. And I used to sing that, Jerry, without thinking, but I think back, that's not right. Stole from the rich and gave to the poor. I don't think Robin Hood did that, but that was the movie. But we have famous quotes today from the past, and we should go back and listen to these authors and leaders from the past. Churchill said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the greed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. And Schaeffer said, Christianity is not just involved with salvation, but with the total man in the world. That's what I want pastors and churches to understand from Francis Schaeffer, a great Presbyterian leader and philosopher in Switzerland. But he said that God is involved with Christianity, is involved with the total man. So to me, if it's a moral issue, a violation of God's moral law that we're understanding personally, we need to address it in church. We need to be able to talk about it in church. When I was in seminary in St. Louis, that's when Schaeffer's video series, How Should We Then Live, came out. And we had discussions. We met every Wednesday. We viewed one segment of it. We had sandwiches and soup, and we sat around all age groups and in these groups, and we had discussions. And that was at church. We don't do that any longer, but we should, because that helps to get these issues of the day, these moral violations of God's law, that gets them out. And I don't think we should talk about anything and everything in church, but when there's a violation of God's moral law, we should. I think we're obligated to do that. So, there's other quotes that I have. I have one here from Dwight Eisenhower. Are we nearing the light, or are the shadows of another night closing in upon us? And he was there at the concentration camps during World War II when so many of these were found murdered. Jews were murdered. Some were alive. And he wrote at that time, are we nearing the light, or the shadows of another night closing in upon us, meaning for the future when he was president. I think we're approaching it now. I don't think these people like AOC and Tallarico and Mandami and El-Sayed, I don't think they know what they're doing. And God forgive them for that, that they don't know what they're doing.
Let me jump in here. Since you mentioned Eisenhower, when he was president, he made this statement in 1955. And I think this is totally relevant, because God or lack of God is really part of the whole key in the debate between, socialism, especially communism, which denies that God exists. But here's what Eisenhower said. He said, without God, there could be no American form of government. nor an American way of life. Recognition of the Supreme Being is the first and most basic expression of Americanism. Thus, the Founding Fathers saw it, and thus, with God's help, it will continue to be. Now, if the communists that are running for office in America, if they have their way, you know, ultimately in a big picture type of things, well, what does that do for the premise of our national birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence, which says our rights come from the Creator, from God? Yeah. Oh, well, if there is no God, then what? We have no rights?
Yeah. No, all that's being turned upside down now. And I think when we go to the past, we realize how important these issues are today. And theologians, even Calvin and Burkhoff spoke on this. We think of Calvin and his institutes and his commentaries and that he didn't touch on this issue. Well, absolutely he did. I'm quoting from Burkhoff in his book on Common Grace, page 434. Common grace curbs the destructive power of sin, maintains a measure of moral order in the universe, thus making an orderly life possible. That's Burkhoff in his summary of John Calvin in one of his commentaries. So that was Calvin saying that, you know, that common grace, that's what we need to be about, Jerry, is curbing we can't totally eradicate evil and sin, but we can curb its destructive power. And the church, I think, needs to be about that business. You know, it's not just a social issue. It's a moral issue. And so we have so many wonderful men and women in the past who have addressed these issues. Who was it? The famous quote, it's deja vu all over again. That was the
Yogi Berra.
Player.
Yeah. Yogi Berra. And I don't even follow sports. Okay. You mentioned earlier Francis Schaeffer, and wasn't it the case that you wrote some books about the problem of statism? And if I'm not mistaken,
right,
there was some sort of link between what Francis Schaeffer said, the late Francis Schaeffer, he died in 1984, but what he said about the problem of statism and your books. Tell us about that, please.
Yes. Well, of course, statism is when the government has complete control over everything. And he said this in an interview that R.C. Sproul had with Francis Schaeffer in a taxi cab in St. Louis, and he said, "Dr. Schaeffer, in your opinion," and Dr. Schaeffer was not well at the time; he had leukemia. But he said, Sproul said to Schaeffer, "In your opinion, what is the greatest threat that we have today?" And Schaeffer responded one word: statism, and that's government control of everything. You know, it's a good term. People ought to get used to it. I have a book, Statism 1, Statism 2, and I address this issue along with quotes from so many, many other authors. It's a wonderful, and if people want copies of this book, they can go to Amazon and put in the word statism 1, it'll pop right up. Or if they want to contact me, I'm at email fortressbk@aol.com. Better way for because I can just respond immediately to that email.
That's interesting. I believe I myself had the privilege to contribute to one or two of those books, as well as something from Dr. D. James Kennedy. But the idea of statism is that the state, the government, would take over everything. Does that include conscience rights? Does that include, in effect, does that make religious liberty null and void, in effect?
Well, I think the most important thing there is that the state then becomes the family. You know, no longer do we have a mother and a father with children, and we make the decisions about for our children when they're, especially when they're young. But the state then has that responsibility. There was a famous quote from Hillary Clinton about that, you know, and it fit
it
right
takes
into
a village.
The it takes a village. Yeah. Well, in some aspect, yes, you want people in the village helping out and whatever, but it's not their responsibility. It's the mom and the dad. Now, when they don't exercise that responsibility, yeah, then we do have ways of making sure that the children are protected and grow up and so on. And but primarily, you know, it's always been this way and biblically, so that it's you've got a mother and a father, and they it's controversial today. You've got two dads and two moms raising a family, and that's difficult, because these are some of these people are well liked and talented, but still, I've got to preach what the Bible says. I cannot, somebody asked me my understanding of the Bible in that, as in other areas, I've got to be very, very clear what the Bible teaches. And that's not a biblical family, two men raising children or two women raising children. And some of your hearers today will maybe have that issue in their own family, but go to your Bible and just study it and see what the Bible says, not what Tallarico says the Bible says, but what God says in his word.
Okay, so
infallible, inerrant.
Okay, we have a few minutes left, so let's circle back to the whole issue at hand, which is the rise of communism, even in our own country, the Democratic Socialists of America. What further things do you want to say about their positions that we haven't said so far?
Well, it's not new, and Yogi said it, deja vu all over again. It's coming back, you know, to haunt us again, and it will always do this, Jerry. The best equipment that we have, the best response we have, needs to come from the church. Why? Because the church is the interpreter, the best interpreter of God's word. That you've got pastors who know Greek and Hebrew. They've been to seminary and a legitimate seminary, and they know God's word. So those discussions need to take place at church. You know, it needs to come back to the church and the church responsibility. I know that's going to be difficult for pastors listening this morning, but I do think, and I'm convinced, that it is a responsibility, and we need to have these discussions at church where Bible's open, very knowledgeable people can discuss these multiple issues. But finally, Jerry, it's not going to stop here. You know, we've got gender dysphoria now. We've got what's coming next? Who knows? You know, that nobody even knew the gender dysphoria was on the horizon, but it had been. It had been out there for a while. So we need to study it. We need to understand it so we can speak intelligently about that.
I assume the DSA are all in favor of the transgender rights and so forth. What is so cruel about the whole transgender agenda is to convince little children who are, you know, confused or whatever, say, about their mm-hmm. gender, pre-puberty or whatever, and then they cross a line where they either take puberty blockers, which will harm them,
right,
or they even have, you know, butchery to their body parts, which cannot be redone. It cannot be redone.
No.
And then later they feel terrible, and it never addressed the issue anyway, these sad feelings. In fact, there's a secular journalist, Abigail Schreier, wrote an incredible book called Irreversible Damage. She lost some friends speaking out on this, but she could not be silent. And so it's too bad the church is too often silent. Okay, we've got 20 seconds left. Do you think communism is going to win? No, it can't. Not in America.
Well, I mean, God is in charge. You know, that's what I tell people. I mean, we don't need to get down and out about it. You know, we need to do our job, and the church needs to do its job, you know, and God is there protecting us. So I'm very positive about the fact that our great Lord, who gave us salvation, is also going to take care of us while we're here on this earth. And even in our difficult times.
All right, we're out of time. Tanglewoodgroup.org. Charlie, thanks so much for sharing. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.